Chapter 8. Know Your Enemy.
By now you are probably saying to yourself, what has Esau to do with Amalek? To discover this, we need first to turn to Genesis chapter 36. Let me remind you again of the relentless consistency of the Holy Spirit, so that wherever you see Esau, or Mount Seir, or Edom in the Word of God, you will know that he is referring to sin as a principle, to that satanic attitude of self-sufficiency and independence which is characteristic of the flesh, the carnal mind, that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. Genesis chapter 36. Amalek was Esau's grandson. And Malachi tells us that God was at war with Esau from generation to generation. And Exodus 17 tells us that God was at war with Amalek from generation to generation. Perpetuated in Amalek was the profanity of Esau, the man who refused the birthright. It is interesting to note in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 36, and these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. There were kings in Edom before there was a king in Israel. And this has interesting spiritual significance. You were born by nature a child of wrath, and the flesh exercised the authority of the king of Edom, Satan, in your life long before the Holy Spirit exercised the authority of the king of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chronologically, in fallen man, the flesh always precedes the spirit. And this is consistently illustrated in the picture language of the Bible. Cain, who was of that wicked one, was born before righteous Abel. Ishmael, born after the flesh, preceded Isaac, born after the spirit. Esau, that profane person whom God hated, was born before Jacob, whom God loved. Saul, who played the fool, and whom God rejected, reigned before David, the neighbor better than he, whom Saul feared, for God was with him. Notice, too, what is said of the kings that reigned in Edom, from verse 33 onward. And Bela died, and Jobab reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad reigned in his stead. And Hadad died, and Samla reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul died, and Baal-Hanan died. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. He died, and he died, and he died. The characteristic of the kings of Edom was that they died. They all died. The kings of Edom reigned unto death, as distinct from the one born later to be king of Israel, who reigns unto life, the promised seed of Esau's rejected birthright, whose kingdom shall have no end. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. As I have already emphasized, you were born by nature a child of wrath, dead in sins, for to be carnally minded is death. And to be carnally minded simply means that by nature, as the fallen seed of the fallen Adam, your human personality is dominated from birth by the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit that repudiates man's dependence upon God, whose presence alone is life, and whose absence is death. On the other hand, To be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be spiritually minded is to recognize always that all that makes you true man is Christ himself, received, honored, and obeyed as King. For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature, and you are in him, made full, and have come to fullness of life. In Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. It is the devil's business to prevent your translation from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And Amalek, imbued with the spirit of Satan, is unrelenting in his opposition to the prosperity of the Israel of God. Balak, who was king of the Moabites at that time, sent a message to Balaam the prophet, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me." So Balak would have Balaam curse Israel. But in the next chapter, we read that Balaam took up his parable and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse, whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy, whom the Lord hath not defied?" And he took up his parable and said, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." This was the birthright. Speaking prophetically, Balaam foreshadowed the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised seed of Abraham. "Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion." The message which was to be reiterated upon the lips of the angel Gabriel, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." But in Numbers 24, after this prophetic utterance, we read of Balaam the prophet in verse 20, "And when he looked on Amalek, and he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations." That is to say, Amalek was the first of the nations to fight against Israel, the first to stand astride the path of God's redeemed people in their march onward into the land of Canaan. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Compromise with the flesh, and you make an unholy alliance with that which is and always will be at enmity with God, and whose end is to perish forever. And this, God says, is something to remember. "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary." That is when Amalek hits you. It is when you are faint and weary. It is when you are one of the hindmost, when you are dragging your feet, when you are spiritually low and the sun is hidden and the skies are dark, when you have withdrawn yourself from the conflict, when you feel the pace is too much for you, when you think you are alone, but you are not alone, for Amalek will be there, with a little chuckle and a giggle in his own slimy way. Amalek will be there. That is his business, and he will be up to no good thing. He feared not God. Amalek has no time for God. He is hostile to God. He is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He is profane. He despises the birthright. Remember Amalek. God says that there is something that you do not have the right to remember, because it is something which God forgets. God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It is not that God pretends that you have not sinned. He doesn't ignore your guilt. He says, I will remember your sins, but in the light of the shed blood of his dear Son, having remembered your sins, every one of them, he says, I will remember your sins no more. He has put them as far away as the east is from the west. He's put them behind his back. He's placed them in the depths of the sea. Though they were as scarlet, they have become as white as snow. Red like crimson, they have become as wool. God says that you do not have the right to remember what he forgets. And God says, I will remember your sins. I will remember your sins. But I will remember them no more. I emphasize this in particular because there are some who would seek to persuade you that true holiness comes only from rummaging into the background of your wicked past and in remembering the things that God has forgotten. They make merchandise of your souls and glory in your shame. It is a masterpiece of satanic subtlety when the devil persuades your flesh to take an unholy pride in the public confession of sin as the price of blessing. Victory, sanctification, revival, the fullness of the Spirit, these cannot be purchased at such a price, for the price has already been paid. To add anything is to repudiate the adequacy of the death of Christ. Sin should and must be confessed to God, and restitution made where the Spirit of God demands it. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them before God day and night. Do not allow him to rob you of your joy or your peace or your assurance by a form of spiritual blackmail. Christ has been made unto you righteousness, and all that he is has been made over to you on the basis of what he did. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The price has been paid, both for your redemption and for your sanctification. And when God forgives, God forgets. If, however, you do not have the right to remember what God forgets, you do not have the right to forget what God remembers. And God remembers Amalek. Amalek is the dirty well. Amalek is the poisoned root. Amalek is the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority that is already at work in the world, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amalek is that sin principle of satanic origin which makes you what you are apart from what God is. What you do, which God is willing to forgive and forget, stems from what you are. This you dare not and you must not forget. Recognize the sinfulness of what you have done, and you will recognize the relevance and your need of what Christ did. Remember the sinfulness of what you are, and you will remember the relevance and your need of what Christ is. God says, remember Amalek. In the following chapter, we shall discuss together the tragedy of a man who forgot to remember.